Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another live episode of the Butterfly Evolution Show. Tika and I want to again thank everyone for coming back with us tonight. A special thanks to all of our, and we'll continue to do this for as long as it's football season, but a special thanks to our fans or our listeners who are also football fans and are making a decision. I've been told that some of them are just going to listen to the show and watch the game, so they're going to listen with their phone. So I'm very appreciative of everyone deciding to make Butterfly Evolution or include Butterfly Evolution with their football night. So thank you for everyone for returning. Remember, if you're listening, the chat line is open and ready this time, so we're ready to go with that. If you're listening online, you do have to be a registered follower of the show in order to participate in the chat option. That means that you can submit your question or comment to us online, and it'll, you know, come in to us, and we'll be able to answer you or post your question to the audience that way. So you don't have to, if you're listening online and you don't want to do it that way, and or if you're not a registered follower, you can simply just call in using the call-in number, which is the 818-691-7406. And for those of you who are listening by phone, remember that you only need to select the number 1 if you are wanting to ask a question or if you have a general comment or something like that. You only need to select the number 1 if you are wanting us to pull you in. The way that we will identify you and pull you in to queue with us, once we do that, you're live on air, everyone can hear your comments or questions, but the way that we will identify you and pull you in is we will provide or give out the area code, the first 3 digits, so that's your area code, and then we'll provide the last 4 digits of the number that you are calling from. So keep that in mind, and that's the way that we will pull you in. The lines are open, and again, you don't have to wait until we get through the show or we pose our opinion or questions and concerns about the show topic. You can do this at any time. We welcome your question or comments at any time. So if you know that you have a comment or something to share about this and want to come in now, it certainly helps us get moving and get into the topic as well. So feel free to select that number 1 at any time. I want to remind you a few things before we move forward, because we may always have some new listeners, and I think we do tonight. But just remember, for those of you who have not moved your trash can, for our repeat listeners, you probably know where I'm going with this, but we ask people continuously to move your trash can or anything that you don't consistently move or just pretty much stays in the same place all the time. And for me, it just seems to be my trash can. So move this and just note how many times you return to where you moved the trash can from. We ask you to do that because we want you to identify or see how many times or how often you go back. Your mind just instantly takes you back to that place because you're so used to it being there. Well, no different in life. We consistently get used to things being in the same place, our life being the same, the people in our lives being the same, and we get comfortable and we are not open to change even when it's best for us. So do this. For those of you who have children, make it a fun game. Allow the child to move it to wherever they want to move it. So pick one and allow them to move it. Let them do their own exercise in their bedroom and let them tell you how many times they go back. Make a game out of it, and maybe the winner would win something. I don't know. But make a game out of it, and then, again, just think about how often we go back to places because we're just used to them and we don't want to put the work in sometimes for that change to, or to acknowledge or accept that change. So it seems like a simple thing, and I know we spend a lot of time on it, but it is very important. So do that. In addition to that, we are, Teek and I are open to any suggestions that you have as far as show topics. I did get a call last week, I believe, and hopefully we will, you know, incorporate that idea. We have to kind of find a way to put it out there, a respectful way to put it out there. But if you have any ideas about, or any topics, anything that's going on in your life that you would like for us to discuss as a topic, please do share. And the way to do that, Teek and I both are on Facebook, of course. You can find us on Facebook, on the Blog Talk line or radio, the website. You can always send an email to us there, or you can text me at 901-830-6088, and I'll give these out at the end of the show as well. So Facebook is an option, the Blog Talk Radio line or website, or you can text me at the 901-830-6088. All right, Teek, are you there with us still?
Yes, I'm here.
Teek is a little under the weather again tonight, but she is getting better, so if we have to, we might lose her just for a minute for her to recover, but we'll bring her back in. So just keep that in mind and be patient as we get through, I guess, this season and the weather. So our topic tonight is basically, it's kind of a twofold and maybe even a threefold topic, because initially it was going to be crabs in a barrel, basically. And I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, have heard that and have some thought process or idea of what that means. But in doing the research for the topic, I came across, if I can't have it, neither can you. And that stuck a little bit, that just made more sense and was a little bit simpler. However, we are going to talk more about that crab mentality, which is basically the same in a sense. So that's what we're talking about tonight. If I can't have it, neither can you. Again, it's all associated with the crab mentality. So we're going to start with crab mentality. And basically, the crab mentality describes a way of thinking, or it best describes the phrase, if I can't have it, then neither can you. And basically, it's a metaphor that refers to a pot of crabs. Individually, the crabs could easily escape from the pot. And of course, no time constraint on that, but they could easily escape from the pot. But instead, what they do is that they grab each other in a very competitive way, which could prevent, and usually does prevent, any of them from escaping. So think about that. When you think about crab mentality and relate this to society and how we treat one another, or how we're so selfish sometimes with even the simple things in life, even the things that you have a lot of, that you're truly blessed in. So when you think about the crab mentality, or if I can't have it, you can't either, or you can't, you know, neither can you, think about that. Sometimes it is things that we have that we can share. Sometimes it's not, we've not quite gotten there, but we don't want the other person to get there first. For some reason, we feel like there's not enough of it to go around. And when I say it, we're going back to, if I can't have it, neither can you. So, and typically this is done in the mindset of, or based upon, just a few things. Not saying that this is the general concept of this, but typically the person who's saying, if I can't have it, neither can you, this typically is out of envy, conspiracy, and competition. We feel like we have to compete. We're going to look more into those words, so keep those in mind: envy, conspiracy, and a competitive feeling. And what's even more interesting to me, that this applies to people usually in a very impoverished or disadvantaged community, where maybe one or a number of people are starting to get ahead, or they want different. It doesn't have to mean all the time that they are starting to get ahead. Maybe they're taking the direction, or they're moving in the direction of getting ahead. And we're not so per se speaking about finances or money or things. It could also be someone just sees that your mindset is changing. The things you do are changing. You may not want to go to the club anymore. You may want to go to the bookstore and read, or you may not want to, I don't know, your sports. You may want to go play, I'm using some of the things that I do, like golf. You may want to play golf. Some people think, golf, that's crazy. Why do you play golf? But they see you starting to do things that's out of the norm, and even something as simple as that makes them think that you may think you're better, or you have it, again, whatever it is, because you have to also define what it is for you. And I think that's another reason, or one reason, I should say, that we'll get into, one reason why we say, if I can't have it, neither can you. Sometimes we don't know what it is for us. We're still in that phase of finding out who we are. So if we don't know who we are, we certainly don't know what it is, basically, what does it for us. So we're going to speak more about envy, conspiracy, and that competitive or those competitive feelings that we have that makes us want to keep others from moving forward. But let me assure you, and I'm jumping ahead a little bit, there is enough of it for all of us. And the example I'd like to use for that is, and we've mentioned this on the show before, think about Popeyes, and I'm trying to use things that people can really identify with, but Popeyes and churches, or Popeyes and KFC, they sell chicken. I mean, all of them sell chicken. And for the most part, you'll see a KFC, and right across the street you may see a Popeyes, and maybe down the street you may see a church's. They all sell chicken, and they all are thriving in their areas. So people are going and buying. So if there is enough of it to go around where people can have three of the same type restaurants, McDonald's and Burger King, it's another one. We'll take chicken out of it, McDonald's, Burger King, and then factor in all of the other restaurants around that are full, CVS and Walgreens. So they sell basically the same thing. So there is enough of it to go around for all of us. It's just things that we have to do to tap into who we are and what it is for us and focus on those things, take our eyes off of the other person, trying to figure out where they're going, what they're doing, how are they succeeding, and why not me. If we can do that, if we can put our mirror on, constantly. It doesn't mean you don't socialize and you don't get what you need or people can't help you get there, but if you do that and focus on what you need to do, what you need to change, and who you are and what it is for you. So we're going to come back. I'm going to see if Tika wants to jump in here. The lines are open, and we have quite a bit of people tonight. I am so thankful and excited, and I hope you all have a lot to share. Tika, if you have anything that, well, before Tika, we have a caller. So let's bring them in and keep in mind first. I'm going to check and see, and then before Tika comes in, we're going to take the caller, and I'm going to check the chat line. So for those of you who are listening online, if you want to go ahead and get something in, please do so. But I'm going to bring the caller in, and this is a 901 area code with the last four digits of 8353. Caller, if you have a comment or a question, you're on the air with us.
Hello. I was calling because my concern about crab in the barrel mentality is more like when you have an idea and you're scared to share it with other people because you don't know necessarily if they're going to steal it. And then, you know, if they do steal it, you kind of feel people will take your ideas or your concept of your dreams and your goals and your vision. And I've had that happen to me when I was just talking in random conversations with people or someone that I knew. And then a couple of weeks later, they come up, well, you know what, I came up with a wonderful idea, and it's the same idea that you gave them. So it's like, to me, it's a concept of stealing what you're trying to work toward doing. And they trying to beat you to the punch of what you, with the ideal or something that you may have just been talking about or whatever, and that's the problem. That's the way I look at crab and bear mentality being is somebody actually stealing your concept, your idea, your vision, or whatever, and then they're running with it, or you're seeing things come into play. It just, it's kind of a, you know what I mean by that?
I do, and I really can relate to that. There was a time where I think I was there with you on that, and still wisdom. You have to have some wisdom about what you share and with whom you share it with. You have to have some wisdom about that. But still, taking it right back to Burger King and McDonald's, KFC and Popeyes, they all sell chicken, but it tastes different. So you may have an idea that someone thinks, this, I'm going to take this and run with it. Many people will take things and attempt to run, but it, when it gets to climbing that mountain, they got your idea and they think, oh, I don't have to put the work in. I'm already at the top because I have the idea and I can just put it to work. But see, someone told me this weekend, and it makes so much sense to what you're talking about now. You know, you can be born on the mountain, but if I climb that mountain, when I get there, I know a lot more about that mountain than you do, because you were born there and you don't know the ins and outs of that crawl, that walk. So it doesn't mean that your idea should be put to rest, because if you believe in your idea and what you want to do, you go do it and take your eyes off that person and put your focus and your eyes on what you know that you want to do. And be sure, again, that it's what you have been, it's a calling for you. It's part of your person and purpose and your passion, because I think so many of us are, you know, we're trying to do too much. And I can speak for that as well. I've eliminated some things that maybe I wanted to do, and focus on, okay, God, let me hear the things that you are breathing on, because those are the things that if I put the work to it, they are going to manifest. It doesn't matter if the same company is connected to the building that I am in. They will be successful. Those are the things that will be successful. So I understand, and it's, people do that. People do it every day. We can't determine who's in the barrel with us. All we can do is make sure that we do what it needs to get out of that barrel. And if it's kick them when they grab your leg, then that's what you need to do. And I don't mean that in a sense, but you get the idea. You have to put the focus on what you know that you have in your heart to do, because it will succeed if you put the work and take the focus off of them. It's hurtful, and people do it all the time, and they're going to continue to do it. That's my comment. Tika, you have some more to share on that?
Well, actually, a lot of that was what I was going to mention. You hit the nail right on the head when you mentioned to her your discerning ability to be careful on who you share it with, because not only with the crabs in the basket mentality, but that falls under play with the doggy dog world as well, because, you know, so many people don't want to work hard for it. They just want to reap and receive the benefits of getting it. So they will steal and take and borrow and pinch and pull from everybody else and put together a concept or a plan or a business or a solution or whatever it is. They'll put it together, but it's not theirs. But I personally believe that what's for me is for me, and vice versa. What's for you is for you. So I don't think someone can truly take what belongs to me if it's a desire or a burn in me that God put into me. Somebody may get my ideas because I talked a little bit too much. I shared a little bit too much with the wrong people. But like Tammy says, whatever it is that you have, they can't put it together the way it was given to you. And they may be able to throw some pieces together, but they won't be able to sustain whatever idea you came up with, because it's for you. And they may initially get that door open, but they can't stay in that door, or they can't stay on that level wherever that project took them, because it was for you. And no matter what, that's gonna, you know, that falls into play with, you can't do wrong and get right out of it, you know. That's just, eventually that's the way it all works out in the end. It burns and it stings in the beginning, especially when someone does it to you. But to me, I think when someone does it to you and it stings hard enough, then we know it's like that sets our discernment level onto another level, where we know what to share and what not to share. And, you know, we because I have a very open mind and trustworthy personality, so I trust everybody until I get burned. And
Yeah.
It should be the, I have people tell me it should be the other way around. Don't trust anybody until they can prove that they're worthy of your trust. But I do it, you know, I trust everyone until I'm burned. But, you know, it's been life situations that have made me close my mouth or not talk too much or not open up too much. But essentially, I believe that what's for you is for you. No one can take from you what God has ordained to be yours. And you can't take from someone else what God has ordained for them.
Okay,
well, caller, thank you for calling in, and hopefully we helped you there, and feel free to log back in when you see fit or need to hear more or have another question or comment, okay?
Okay.
All right,
thank you.
We have another caller, I believe, and I apologize, but this one is showing up with the name, so I don't have a number, but I'm going to bring this caller in, and I'll say the last is Shepherd. So, caller, you're on the air with us?
Yeah, this is Greg from Nashville.
Hi, Greg.
Hello,
how are you?
The reason why you can't see my area code is because I'm calling through Skype on my computer.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Well, first of all,
thanks for tuning in tonight, and we're welcome your question or your comment.
Yeah, first of all, I listen to a lot of internet radio, but I'm very choosy about what I listen to. This is one of the smartest topics I've run across in a while, and I think you guys are doing a great job of presenting it, by the way.
Thank you.
This is such a big topic. I mean, you guys could do like a 5-hour show on this easily. And I like the way you're using the metaphor of the crabs in the bucket, and I like the way you're using the analogies of the restaurants and that type of thing. What this basically gets down to is the basic mechanism of the human ego. You know, we always think there's never going to be enough good in the world, so we're constantly out clawing and scratching and scraping and trying to get more. And think about the culture that we live in. We worship people that play sports. Competition is what this country prides itself on. And what that does is that fosters the feeling of survival of the fittest, like in the animal kingdom. And there's an old saying in sports, amateurs compete, professionals create. And I am not a sports fan, but I believe that that's true. And I believe we need to get out of our competitive nature. At least in Western culture, I can only speak to where I live, which is here in the U.S. It's amazing because we talk out of two sides of our mouths. We talk about all this abundance and all this prosperity, but yet we're out all over the globe just stealing things from people, resources, you know, all kinds of stuff. So we talk one thing, but we act another thing. And to me, that's like having a split personality.
That is so interesting, and that's part of, I didn't get to get to that part, but socially, I'm just amazed, even with what you're saying about sports, even with, if people can relate to this, you know, we have so much tagged into social importance. For instance, we have people that have car spaces that they can park based on what they do. It's not about their character or who they are. We have these famous people, stars they call them, that can go in a restaurant and eat for free. They have more than enough money to pay for everyone in that restaurant, but they can go because of who they are and eat for free. Well, you have the homeless guy just around the corner or just in front that they won't even allow to stand in front. I was in the midst of where a restaurant wouldn't allow someone else to buy that person a meal. Someone who says, I just want to buy them a meal. I'm not saying they have to come in or sit. I just want to buy the meal. They said no. But then we will give all this status quo to these people. Again, artists who come in and they can certainly pay for their stuff, or the president of the bank or whomever who signs the dotted line for predatory lending. You know, we think those are big people who have made it, so in the sense, and we look down on the person who says, no, I'm not going to take that job because it goes against what I believe. It interferes with my integrity. So you are exactly right. You're exactly right.
I'm looking at the show description for today, and I'll read just this one little sentence here. It talks about the collective community becoming jealous or filled with a sense of self-loathing, and you kind of use that often happening in an impoverished or a disadvantaged community. And you've really struck a nerve there, because When we think of an impoverished or a disadvantaged community, one of the things that could naturally come into our mind is welfare. And we're not going to get into who gets it and what color they are. That's totally pointless. We're talking about human beings here. So what happens is if we're living in an impoverished or a disadvantaged community, and let's just say there is some dependency on welfare at whatever level, what we've done by perpetuating this state of welfare, and the U.S. is very often referred to as a welfare state, is we identify people by what they lack. So if I'm living in that community and I see you, and I love the examples you used of rising above, not necessarily with money, just in the simple things like, I'm going to go to the library and I'm going to read some books, and I'm going to try to pull myself out of this mentality. That was an amazing comparison that most people would never bring up. So when we define ourselves by what we think we lack, because spiritually we don't lack anything, God gives us everything we need inside of our hearts. But if we're not aware of that, we're going to look at somebody around us and go, wait a minute, who do you think you are? You're making all the rest of us look bad. Stop trying to improve yourself.
Wow.
And this happens in countries like Russia. I can remember watching a story where someone had a little cart on a street corner and they were selling something. And word got around that they were making a small profit. All of the people in that community ganged up on that guy, and they destroyed his cart.
Oh.
Because these people have lived in a socialist, an iron-fisted socialist economy for so many years. They've been trained to think that you can't rise above your neighbor. Everyone is, you know, equal in their poverty. You're not supposed to try to rise up out of the ghetto. You're just supposed to take what the government throws you, a crumb or a chicken bone, and be happy with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's funny you mentioned about the bookstore, because most of when you look at the poverty areas, you probably will not find a bookstore anywhere near a poverty area. But
yeah,
that does not mean you can't bring that book home from the library and choose to read it rather than, you know, going out consistently. They become hopeless. People become hopeless, and
yeah,
right, they identify who they are by looking outward instead of inward, and it seems that this person may have a bit more than me, even if it's just a little bit. And sometimes it's not even the case that they do have more. It's just that the self-loathing part, which is basically, you know, self-hatred, it's that inward hatred about where I am.
Yep.
And you're hitting, it's almost like you've read all of my notes, because on the community level, you know, I was thinking about how we identify poverty areas or disadvantaged communities. We have this sense where we call them projects. And as a child, if you're growing up saying, I live in the projects, knowing how the outward community identifies where you live, which means now they have a label on you, and now it's only so much society says you will be able to do, and we're going to make sure of that, because we're not going to put things in your community that will, you know, things that will help you live longer by the way you eat, bookstore, things like that, boys and girls club. You don't see those type of things, whereas you used to. We used to be a community of where it takes a village to raise a child. Well, today I can barely tell your child, please get out of the street, baby, I can, without you coming out saying something to me.
Yeah.
So you are so right with that.
Your show title.
No, I'm not.
Go ahead, I'm listening.
Well, I know no matter what, I know that a lot of us are, you know, we lust for more in our lives. At one point in time, there's all of us lust for more in our lives. But then there's also the personal, there's a personal temptation to escape what's always greater, that's greater than the realization of its consequences. So it's like people have, they have a desire to escape, not realizing, okay, but the way that I'm wanting to escape, what am I doing? How is this going to come back and affect me? What am I doing to the next person in wanting to escape? How am I going about doing it? What you know, with my behavior, like Tammy mentioned, my integrity, how am I treating people in order to get ahead?
Yeah.
It's the way, you know, it's the point and the steps taken, you know, because no matter what we're chasing, we're always chasing something, or we're always desiring something. You know, it starts with, you know, desiring we don't have a lot of people don't have a personal desire, but we desire what this person has, or I want what you have, and since I don't know how to get it, I'm going to take it from you. I see a lot of that. And I'm going to just take from you what you have, or figure out how to, you know, get ahead of you by taking what you have, but I don't want to get there on my own. So a lot of that comes out of a lot of that impoverished mentality as well, the mentality of we're stuck and I don't know how to get out and I'm afraid. But if, you know, instead of using their minds to get there, they will, you know, criminal behavior seems to be their, how they rationalize, this is how I'm going to get it.
Yeah.
I have to take whatever it is I want. I have to take it.
Yeah, and what that is that's the dog-eat-dog, that's the survival of the fittest mentality that we perpetuate in the media, in sports, in competition, in corporations, and all these things. I mean, when you look at a football stadium, and I'm not a sports fan, and when you look at a football stadium, what you're looking at is you're looking at the Roman Colosseum. That's exactly how they're built. They're built exactly to personify that. And the Roman Colosseum was about reliving the conquest of war, bloodlust, and conquest, and that's exactly what you're doing when you sit and watch these football games. When you watch these people hit each other and hurt each other, you're looking at survival of the fittest, and what you're doing, even though you're not consciously aware of it, is you're lowering yourself to the level of an animal. That's exactly what you're doing, and I'm not saying that you're not smart and that you're not cultured and that you're not refined if you watch those things, but you're doing it at a subconscious level and you don't even know it.
It's a form of entertainment out of a battle, out of bloodshed, or you know, it's not always bloodshed, but it's I guess a form of entertainment on someone else's pain, and we put it into the form of a game, but
think about it. If I'm feeling stressed or I'm feeling angry or whatever, and I'm bottling it up inside, and I don't mean like a psychopath, I just mean an average person. And I have all this subconscious stuff seething underneath the surface, and I am an absolute rabid football fan. What am I doing? I'm living vicariously through these gladiators. I'm watching them do the pain, inflicting the pain, and that's where we get the relief. That's where we get the relief.
Well, since I'm not a football fan, I never looked at it that way, but that kind of changes my perception about the sport, because I never saw it that way because I'm not a sports fan.
Yeah, and it's amazing, because if you have this type of a conversation, and I'm not trying to trail off into sports, you watch people's reactions, typically males, they get very defensive when you start to talk about their sports. They get very guarded, and that's telling you a lot about what's going on inside.
It's a little bit deeper than the game.
It's much deeper, and look at what we pay these people. We call them heroes. We pay them hundreds of millions of dollars, and like you said, an average teacher, as an example, makes about $40,000 a year. An average police officer makes about $40,000 a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is amazing radio, I'm telling you guys. This chat room should be just jam-packed. And there's like me and you guys in the chat room, but I know there's a lot of other people listening in different ways.
Yeah. Well, that goes back to, you know, the people – that mountain, you know, they want it. It's kind of like that the instant gratification. You know, we're going to have instant gratification, or short-term gratification turns into long-term hell, because one day all the things that we have acquired, that we think we have, will not matter. It will not matter, and it will not be enough. So
we're constantly chasing after what will never satisfy us, because once we get one thing, it's always a desire to go higher. I want more.
Yeah.
Higher. I want bigger. I want better.
Stop and start looking inward. When you see that it's happening, and it's kind of like the caller going back to when you first came on, you know, these are not just people who don't have a spiritual life or relationship. We have to start looking at, even we claim to have this spiritual relationship, but we're never satisfied. We're wanting more. We'll go out and spend, we've talked about this, $500-$600 on a purse.
Yeah.
I will never get that. Or shoes. I will never get that.
Yeah. You know, there's a song, and I hate using corny cliches, and I rarely quote people, only when I feel it's really important, but there is a song. And the lyric is very simple. The road to nowhere leads to me. And that's a simple lyric, but there's so much depth there. And I'm, you know, I'm 43, and I can remember many years of my life, especially when I was practicing addiction in my all the way up into my mid-20s when I finally walked away. I was constantly searching, like most of us do, most of our lives, looking for that feeling, looking for that emotional connection at some level. And
what
the
purpose,
ultimate
purpose?
Yeah, the ultimate irony was, if you picture yourself just standing in one place, if you can see yourself looking and you're looking down on yourself, or you see yourself and just standing in a room, and you're constantly looking out, and just think of a circle that starts on your left hand side and arches all the way out, comes all the way out in front of you. Ultimately, when we finally sort of get it, this traveling that we do, this path that we take, it actually is nothing but a circle that leads right back to us.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that God built it that way, because everything that we think is true, it's almost always the total opposite.
Opposite.
Mm-hmm. And there's
and
so
the
much
things that we think is not right, it is right.
There's so much
but
simplicity
it's what the
there.
World believes, and it's a difference in God's world and the world's world.
I love, you know, the old saying that the devil is in the details. I firmly believe that, because God built this thing to be simple and easy to understand. Why did Jesus teach in parables? Because it transcends culture, color, race, religion, nation, everything. It transcends everything. But what we do is we put all these layers of complexity on it, and we bury it so we can spend all of our time analyzing it.
And takes it all the way back to the simplicity of it was already there all along.
Yeah.
It was already there.
I'm getting to a place in my life where I don't do it all at once, because, you know, I put my wife into shock. I get all gung-ho and jump on the bandwagon. And, I learned that one a long time ago. I do it a little bit at a time. Is just simplicity. There's a movement called the minimalist movement, or minimalism, that's kind of gaining steam, where you just learn to live with less. You consciously make a decision, even if you're making X number of dollars and you could buy quadruple what
less
you have.
Less is more. Right.
Just,
less is more.
Just, that's it. Just peeling away the layers. I really like that type of thinking.
Right. Well, could you give us the name of the song again, please? I wrote down The Road to Nowhere Leads to Me. Is that correct?
You're going to laugh when I tell you who the artist is. His name is Ozzy Osbourne.
Really?
Yeah. Now, I don't know if that's the actual
name. I would have never thought Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah. I don't know if that's the actual name of the song, but that's the main lyric in the song, is The Road to Nowhere Leads to Me. So if you Google that, you'll probably find it.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. It's actually a good song. It's not like one of his crazy, you know, biting the heads off of bats or anything like that.
But it's a message in there.
Oh, man. Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
Yeah, or there's another one called Mama, I'm Coming Home. That one's got a lot of depth to it if you're into that kind of music.
Okay.
Anyway, sorry about that.
I apologize.
Well, let me leave your listeners with a message. If you were to say, Greg, Det Shepherd, give us a parting word. This is simply it. And we're talking about looking at people around you, no matter what situation you live in, seeing someone trying to do better at any level. And you're looking within yourself, and maybe you're jealous, maybe you're envious. What I want you to know is simply this. Don't define yourself by what you lack, because everything that you need is inside of your heart. Your job is to remember that. So if you're living in the projects or a bad neighborhood or the ghetto, don't ever believe the lie that you can never escape that. All you have to do is pick one person that you know that has gotten out of the ghetto, and if one can get out, anyone can get out.
Would you just say that one more time? Don't define yourself with what you lack. If you could just say that
one
more time.
It's important. Don't define yourself by what you lack, because ultimately you don't lack anything. You are 100% self-sufficient. You are 100% complete, whole, and perfect. I don't care what anyone tells you, up to and including people that you go to church with. God made you perfect. And the sooner you start believing that and acting that way, the better your life is going to get.
A powerful, powerful message. And I just wanted
it really
to
was. Right,
so.
Because it's the lies that the lies are the bondage. So,
absolutely.
Like you say, you're already complete and whole, and he already made you perfect, but it's that, you know, like you said, people believe in, and they have more faith in believing that, well, since I lack this, this is what I am. This is who I am, and this is all I could ever be, when it's the lie that they believe, not the truth.
It's so amazing because I spend a lot of time sharing this with people. Society, the matrix, the mainstream, it has many words. The devil, the world, you can call it whatever you want, whatever culture,
whatever you want,
context you came up in, just use that word. That system is built to continuously feed you the lie that you need to buy something to complete who you are. That's why we stay in debt. That's why we claw and scrape and scratch and compete. You have to unplug from that, and you can do that. And one of the simplest ways to do that, and this upsets people, stop watching television.
Wow.
Just unplug from the noise.
Unplug.
You know?
Unplug is perfect. That's exactly
it.
What it is. Unplug because it's what, well, TV, of course, because it's visual, but even the radio, because, you know,
yeah,
even what you're hearing.
That's
unplug
right.
Basically is everything. Unplug.
Well, they become distractions, and life, society has put many things in front of us to keep us distracted, to keep us wanting more. When you talk about TV,
but you want,
I remember,
more because you see the people on TV with more.
I remember fasting from TV for 30 days. That was part of my, you know, church was fasting. They said,
yeah,
give up in church, and I realized that I would wake up, and the first thing I did was turn my TV on, even if I turned the volume down. So
yeah,
after 30 days, what I would do, all the times that I would watch TV, I would maybe read more or just sit in quiet time, ponder,
you
know, think. So it does. It becomes distraction. We have TV. We have radio. We have Facebook. We have Twitter. And the need to know what everyone's doing and get the like button on Facebook when you post something, people seek,
yeah,
such gratification in all areas. And
yeah,
it's just they thrive on that. In a sense, they begin to lose whatever little bit of part of them that is there, that
yeah,
has the oomph in it. So I certainly agree. And our kids are watching the same stuff. You know, some of the things that these kids are watching or allowed to watch, I'm amazed. I am just truly amazed that they're even on TV, that they've gotten to a point where they are on TV. But it's all about money and status.
Yeah. I am.
AA has approved so much stuff now. And speaking of unplugging, you know, I tune a lot of TV out just simply because I feel it to be so poisonous to me. But I remember leaving my cell phone at work, and I remember at first just feeling dead because I couldn't call anybody to say, come unlock the door and let me in.
Yeah.
And at first I was in a frantic mode of, oh, what am I going to do? But when I got home, when I tell you, that was the most peaceful night I've had in years. Just no phone, no TV, no nothing. I just grabbed a book, and it was just, joy came out of that moment of just
good.
No
good.
Ringing phone, no text, no nothing. I just tuned everything out. And I think when you unplug, it gives you opportunity to rejuvenate the right way.
Let me give you a really quick overview of technology. It does have its usefulness as a tool, of course,
mm-hmm,
and ultimately machines and technology are supposed to be created so humans don't have to produce as much labor. They're supposed to make our lives easier. But what we do is we clutter our lives with all of this technology, and especially with the prominence of social media. You know, staying connected is the big thing now. But what we have to understand, and I'm going to use a corporate logo to make my point, look at Apple. Their corporate logo is very simple. It's an apple with a bite taken out of it. Now, I want you to just slow down your mind for just 1 second and follow me. What does that apple represent?
Adam and Eve.
Yes.
Taking a bite out of the apple.
It represents the Garden of Eden. It represents paradise. It represents original sin. It represents separation from God. So subconsciously, when you buy this product, and I have a Mac, and it's a wonderful tool. It's a very nice tool, and that's all it is a tool. When you buy Apple products, when you're exposed to that corporate logo, when you look at it, whether you're consciously aware of it or not, they're tapping into the collective subconscious of the human race, and you think you're literally becoming more connected with God when you buy the technology. And I know that was a mouthful, and that was a little bit on the heavy side, but my point is simply this, and I'll put it in layman's terms. No amount of technology is going to get you closer to your friends, your family, or anyone that you know. It's actually going to push you further away from them, because what it does is it replaces what we're doing right now, speaking to one another or standing eye to eye, toe to toe, and having a heartfelt conversation.
Yeah, it's taking
away,
social
skills.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, our children are growing up. I mean, to going back to, this is a long time ago, but when I worked in the school system, and I remember the first program coming out, they called it Right to Read, but they were using computers, and these were for preschoolers that they wanted to learn how to write, but on the computer. So my thought process to that was, don't we need to learn how to read first? You know, let's start reading so that we can start writing. But they put this technology into, and now to have a decent conversation with the child is even at age 16 or 17. I was at Sonic and gave someone $20, and my bill was 98 cents, and they didn't know how much change to give me, and this was a high school person. And I'm sitting there thinking, no, you have got to get this, and she's sitting looking at me like, it's okay, and I'm saying, no, it's not okay. It's not about my change. It's the fact that you don't know this. This is simple.
Yeah, that's scary.
No, it does. It erases, a lot of this erases the young people's ability to communicate face-to-face, but even in their, not only their communication skills, well, of course, communication skills, but another form of their communication skills in writing. So I'm a hairstylist, so several of my clients have been teachers, and they said that in the papers that they have their students write, they write as if they're texting.
Right.
Yeah.
Shortening their words, and it's like the writing is going out the window. Of course, penmanship has been out of the window.
Oh,
Being able to communicate verbally face-to-face, that's gone out of the window. Everybody sends text, and text, you know, it's good for a moment, but people don't know how to communicate face-to-face. I mean, it's removed so much of the physical contact from society. And, you know, I like it. I only use my phone to call and text. It hasn't become my whole world. But I love to talk to people face-to-face. If I can put the phone down and see you, I'd much rather prefer to do that.
And I will share something with your young listeners. If you're out there, I'm 43 years old. I have a friend who's about my age who has two teenage daughters. One is about 19 or 20 by now. She's been out of high school for a couple of years. And within the last year, she lost her job because of texting. She was warned three times.
Wow.
And her dad, she was living at home and going to college at the time. Her dad said, you're going to get fired. She didn't listen. The third warning, she was fired. And my message to you, if you're a young person, is simply this. I cannot count how many times and how many doors have been opened for me personally because of, number one, my ability to say what it is that I'm thinking in a clear and concise manner, not trying to be highly educated and impress people. I did that when I was a kid because I was an idiot, but to be able to have a solid command of the English language, because if you don't know how to convey what it is that you're thinking or feeling, you can't communicate with other people. And the other thing that's opened many doors for me is my ability to spell very well. I'm not the best writer in the world, but I can speak and communicate very effectively, and also my ability to type has actually helped because, of course, the computers. But if you think that by texting and using your computer with spell check, you're going to get there faster with less work than the person standing next to you, you're going to wake up one day and you're going to wonder why you're not getting hired and why you're not being accepted at these places that you're turning in your resume, because ultimately they're looking for people who have critical thinking skills. You know, I can teach anybody to sit in front of a computer, get on the internet, and push a couple of buttons. Can you think critically?
Can when technology goes out, can you still survive?
Right.
Think about it.
And we have to go back to the old way. Can you function? Will you be able to function? Or do I have to send everyone home?
Yeah.
You know, if you can't sit there and give me my change.
It's true. And think about this. You just made me think of something that it never even popped into my mind. Think about it. If you're a young person, I'm going to give you a challenge. Look around your house. How many pencils and pens are there, and how many pads of paper are there in your house? That's something to think about.
Versus electrical equipment.
Exactly. I mean, you know, I remember when I was in the Navy in 1988.
Writing a letter.
We wrote letters all the time. I mean, mail was like gold. This was before the internet. And I held on to those letters for years up until just a few years ago. I went through them. I read them all, you know, kind of remembering them for old time's sake. And then I, you know, I shredded them. I didn't need them anymore. But it's amazing. We used to write letters, and that's just the way you did it. But now it's internet and email and all that. But the point is all this technology, it's convenient, but it's dumbing us down. And ultimately, it isn't only hurting our intellectual capacity. It's keeping us from discovering our true spiritual nature. That's the most important thing.
I agree.
You quoted it right when you said dumbing us down. I've heard that several times. Dumbing us down. It is.
Yeah.
I mean, the generation, even my girls, of course, they text because I have, you know, kids, teenagers. But even when they text me, you know, they'll text me with these abbreviated terms, and I'm like, what did you say? But even to me, I make them spell everything out. They're like, Mommy, nobody texts that way.
Yeah.
Well, to me, you have to text me this way. You can't abbreviate stuff. You have to write it out, just because I want them to still have, like you said, critical thinking skills. I still want them to be able to write something out and logically think about what they're saying. I don't want them to just erase it all and, well, this is what everybody's doing now. I don't care what everybody's doing now. Some things, I still want you to do it the way I was taught.
That's good. And what'll eventually happen, and this is a completely different topic, and I won't get off into this, what's going to eventually happen if we don't stop and reverse this, is we're going to have an entire population of people that are basically idiots. And I'm not saying that to be negative or judgmental. We're going to have a population of people where the critical thinkers are going to be the rare, extremely rare minority. I mean, like small pockets of people. Back in the day, they called them the wise men or the sages or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And those people are just going to be like, oh, he's just some freak over there in the, you know, whatever. That's what's going to happen. And these people that run the show and make all this money off of us being stupid, that's what they want.
What they want. That's what society promotes. And people, for you listeners, you may think, well, what does all this have to do? This just means the barrel is going to be more overcrowded. We're just going to have a couple of barrels going on, because if our young people, if this continues in the way that it's going, if they're not in the barrel, they're going to certainly get in there. So you may think all
this
we're talking about technology and all these things, this has much to do with that crab mentality. If I can't, you're not either. So because this society is, that's what keeps society going. And it's because we are allowing it. Why do you think they want the artists to come in and eat free for their restaurant? Because as soon as you hear that they are there or have been there, you put some status on this restaurant. Now this restaurant must be it because this person was there.
Exactly.
You know, or why do you think they send them all
shoes
and can buy their shoes? Because they know you're going to go out and spend $150 on your child a pair of shoes, and they don't have a book in the house. They may not have a computer even to do the homework that they need to do, if we're talking about technology. So it goes back to you. So these things do or will affect that crab in the barrel mentality.
You know, the most important thing that I've learned in my life, when we're talking about our spirituality and just being aware, and I don't mean that in a religious sense, just your being, who you are inside of your heart. And we have to tie our mind in there sometimes, because, you know, those two things are going on at the same time, is a very simple concept. It's called integration. What we do is we live in a fragmented society. Think of the human body in the practice of medicine. You have to go to a specialist for your toe, for your ear, for your elbow, for your back, for your hair, for your ear. It's all fragmented. No one knows how to treat the whole body anymore. They call it holistic medicine for a reason. So you go to this specialist, you go to that specialist, and you're constantly out searching for all these different people to fix these separated parts of you, when in reality you are a whole being. You're a whole individual. So what these people, these powers that be, want you to stay in a state of is disconnectedness. They want all the pieces of the puzzle to be spread out on the table, and you have no clue how to connect them and glue them together. Because once you know how to do that, you're actually a threat.
Right, because they stop trying. They just stop trying to find the pieces to to have the whole puzzle, to be able to see the bigger picture. Me and Tammy, we use that analogy all the time. When we feel that we got an extra piece of puzzle, you know, we say to each other, did you get that piece? Did you get the piece? You put the puzzle together? Because we're constantly trying to put the puzzle together. I don't like missing pieces. And in this, you know, our whole show has been, of course, soul searching and helping others to soul search. But it's been us also saying, wake up. Like you said, you know, the children today, they are the future. And it's time to wake up, because if we don't wake up, like you said, it's going to, what the future we have to look forward to, it's not going to be, you know, anything like it's been in the past. And none of us will be pleased with it. And like you said, it'll be a small group of people with wisdom and you know, discerning qualities. But unless we wake up,
it's been said that once we get to a level in our spiritual growth where we're no longer self-centered and it's all about me, and we have the ability and the desire and the willingness and the heart to reach out and to lift other people up into the light, that's when we're spiritually maturing. When we can, yes, we take care of ourselves first, of course. We have to eat, we have to clean our bodies, we have to take care of our families. But when we have the desire and the ability to reach out, as you're doing, Tammy and Tika, on this show, and lift other people up, that's a sign of emotional maturity. But what these powers that be want to do is keep you totally focused on poor little me and where am I going to get my next breadcrumb. And if you see the guy next to you getting a couple of breadcrumbs more, you're going to punch him in the face.
Mm.
And that's what gang violence is all about. Think about it. When a tagger sprays his symbol on the side of a wall, let me tell you what he's doing. He's a dog peeing on a tree. And what does a dog do when he pees on a tree? He tells any other male passing through that area, number one, if you want to eat here, you must challenge me first. And if you want to pass your genes on to the next generation, you must go through me first. And that's the way that system was built. So the strongest genes are passed on to the successive generation. But God built us to be much more than animals, did he not?
He did.
And that's what gangs are all about, is I'm marking my territory. I'm taking my stand. So when you come through here, you know who the boss is. That's a base animal behavior.
And we're not animals.
No, we are not. We're so.
We are not animals.
Yeah, you don't see.
We're the ones. We're intelligent.
You don't
see. We're the only ones who have the intelligence that we have.
You don't see cows building skyscrapers, do you?
Not at all.
And if you weren't meant to eat a hamburger, cows would have guns, wouldn't they?
Yes. Protected.
Yes, they would. And
they
would use them. And they would use them if they had to.
Right.
Anyway, listen, I burned up way too much of your show. I apologize.
No, you haven't. Don't apologize. It's been great having you. We've enjoyed you being a guest and a part of the show. We truly have.
Thank you.
I know our family as well.
And
yes.
I followed you, by the way, so when I log in, if you guys have got a show coming up, it'll, of course, give me a little message in my little inbox. So.
Wonderful, right. Wonderful. Thank you so much. And if you have anything else you hear and you want to comment on, just reselect the number one, we'll pull you back in, okay?
Thank you very much. You guys have a good night.
Thank you, too.
Bye-bye.
Wow, that was wonderful. And again, thank you, caller. Thank you for just coming in and sharing. That was a lot covered. I really don't know where I am in my notes, but thanks again, Greg. Thanks to our
previous
speaker as well. We just really appreciate it. So what I'll do, the chat line is still open. If anyone has anything that they want to now share or have a question that they want to get in, Tika, I know that we've not bought you in yet. I'm going to check the chat line. So if you want to go ahead and move forward, if not, then I'll just come back in.
I'm just trying to figure out what I had to do. Go ahead and talk, because I got confused with all, well, not confused, but the show just brought about so much. It brought about so much, and so I...
Okay. Well, basically, just to kind of recap of what we've gone over, what you really need to get out of this, people, is, from my take, who are you? What is it about you that keeps you wanting more, wanting things, and when I say more, wanting those things in some sense that we don't need to thrive and survive. It's like our caller said, living with the basics. What is so wrong with that? What is wrong with teaching our children how to live with the basics, with the necessities? We give them, we give them, we give them, which makes them want, want, want. And they're not working for much of anything. We talked about cell phones. We talked about computers. You know, we have children that are second grade that has a computer, their own computer. They have a phone. What? Why? Where is your child going to be that you are not going to be, or that an adult is not going to be? We are allowing society to train our thoughts to remove any part of our integrity. We are adapting to this world. And the word tells us, do not be, to be not a part of this world. But we are. We do, we say, we are part of everything, whether it's good, right, bad, or ugly. We feel like, well, it's just the way the world is today. That could be so, but it certainly does not have to be the way that we run our lives, or certainly our homes, and the way that we allow our children to do so either. So what you need to at least remember thus far, and we're going to continue on in the show, but what we need to remember thus far is less is more. And you don't have to compete with anyone. It's like our caller said, you are already perfect. You already have everything you need to survive in this world. Everything. Your circumstances does not dictate where you can go or what you can do. Grab hold to someone. Someone. All it takes is someone, a person. And if you don't have that person, you become that person. Find a way. There's no bookstore to go to, bring a book home. Go to a teacher for our young readers. Go and say, can you help me? I want to learn more about this. Ask for that help. That's another thing. We need to get in a state of being able to ask when we are in need, but we try to hide that as well, as if I don't know you're in the same barrel that I'm in. Because basically, in a sense, we're all in the same boat. Because it's going to come a time, the things that you're searching for, the things that you're wanting, they are not going to be able to keep you from going here or there. Basically, they're not. They can't save you from sickness. They can't pay a bill for you. They can't. So all these things that you're searching for to cover up what's really going on, again, that instant gratification, that short-term gratification, you're basically setting yourself up for a long-term hell, basically. So that's where we are thus far. I'm going to go back and check the lines. We're okay on the chat line, and the lines are open, you guys, if you have any question or comment. Going to keep moving forward, and Tiki, just let me know when you're ready to come in.
Okay.
And we won't go so long, won't keep you all so long tonight, but this is a very important topic, because some of you right now on this line, really, you are thinking, or you can, if you do think, what are some of the ways that I am doing this? How am I contributing to this crab in the barrel mentality? In some sense, do I have this mentality? And if we be honest with ourselves, we probably all do in a sense, or have at some point in time, but it really takes you wanting to learn who you are, finding your passion, and determining or defining a way to get that. And again, we're not talking about money. We're not talking about things. Who are you? Who are you when no one's watching? What do you say when no one's watching? What do you do? Integrity when no one's watching. Would you be okay with signing someone up to get a loan knowing that they cannot pay for this house? They are going to lose it, but we're going to get what we need to get for my job. You know, because as we've said on this show, you can't be, and our caller just said, you know, we may have to go to different doctors for this and that, but we are a whole. Our body is a whole. So you can't be one person at church, and that's another thing that keeps us in that barrel because, again, we don't know who we are. We don't know at what time we should be who. You're one way at church, one way at work, another way at home, another way around your friends. Who are you? How do you know what it is for you? All you know is that I can't get it because I don't know what it is, and I don't want you to get it either, because that shows me up. Because if you guys get out, I might be the only one in this barrel, then everybody's going to know that I'm in here.
Mm-hmm.
When, in
oh,
many
you
cases,
know,
I wanted to say something, even when it's not someone physically pulling down. I know I see a lot of people with that they use their influence. They use their influence to discourage you. So that's not physically, but it's mentally, so it does just as much harm. Where they use their influence to discourage you or use their influence to, you know, not just say that you can't do it, but they try to throw other seeds at you or they try to throw seeds of doubt at you. You know, they may basically tell you you can't do it or they may start pointing out your inadequacies. I notice a lot, I see that and I get that from a lot of people. And a lot of times, just in working in a salon for years and years and years, you know, just if you're quiet, you hear so much. And I hear so much of that, to the crabs in the basket. Sometimes it's so unnoticeable, you know, because there's certain people who have a certain, you know, charisma and charm about themselves. And so when they say something, you know, it comes off and it appears to be helpful or they seem that they're, you know, speaking encouraging words. But then, you know, if you're quiet long enough, you can recognize the deceit and the manipulation and the influence to truly, you know, they're actually trying to discourage you from doing something. And like when I mentioned earlier, Tammy, that I believe that what's for me is for me and what's for you is for you. I don't believe that someone can take from me what belongs to me, but they can't. People can discourage you from going after what does belong to you because they don't, you know, I believe that some people, they see something in you or they recognize something in you that, okay, well, I don't have that drive or, you know, of course, that's again, with the crap. I don't have that drive or I don't have that desire or, well, I don't think I'm going to go where they go. So not only am I going to discourage you, but I'm going to, you know, just use their influence in a negative light and in a negative way. But just in this topic, I wanted to give this scripture because we've all, a lot of us have heard the scripture where it says, judge not lest you be judged. But also in that scripture, Matthew 7, 1-5, after that it says, why do you see the speck in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your eye? And it says, even in the Bible, it speaks the word hypocrite, because you have to first take the log out of your eye before you try to clearly help your friend take the speck out of their eye. So when you know, that's why the lady that called earlier when she was saying how she shares some ideas and she may see somebody taking off with it. I've in the past have shared ideas, and not only did somebody take off and maybe try to create it, but then they would go about telling me how to rearrange it or I should do it like this or I should have done it like this or had I not been inadequate here, I could have, you know, made this right here manifest. But I would notice that I'm careful in who I share advice with, but then it's also difficult for me to take, you know, advice from someone when I see that they may not be doing the walk that they're telling me to take. It's like a smoker telling you, okay, you know what, it's not good to smoke. It causes cancer. And then as soon as they're done telling you that, they flare up a cigarette or, you know what, it's not good to use drugs. Drugs are bad for you. But yet they pull out the needle and, you know, start, you know, preparing their arm to shoot up drugs. It's you know, it falls in line with, you know, what you say, the influence. It's not just your influence, but it is your walk as well. Like Tammy said, your integrity. Who am I to tell you? Because first we have to look in the mirror. And so many of us do not honestly look in the mirror. And I think we're so busy, you know, looking at everybody else's inadequacies because so many people have jumped at us and pointed out our inadequacies. And so we feel the need to, well, someone did it to me, I got to go do it to the next person. When it's so much easier just to stop, look in the mirror, and just say, okay, God, what is it that I need to change in me or help me to recognize what's wrong in me or what's foul in me or what's not good in me or what's weak in me? Help me to realize it, God, but not running to other people and expecting them to point it out to you, because they may point out things that aren't really there. It may be things in them that may not be in you, or it could be a lot of things in you, but you can't have 10 people telling you all the things that are wrong with you. And some of those things will be true, but in everyone that's telling you something's wrong with you, there is, you know, we all have our shortcomings because we are of the fallen human race. We just naturally are. But even though we have our shortcomings, we all are fully gifted as well. We are fully gifted. I have gifts that Tammy doesn't have. Tammy has gifts that I don't have. But together, using our two gifts, becoming one, because we're all, essentially we are one. You know, Scripture says that we are one. And so helping one another, it doesn't take anything from me to work with Tammy, and it doesn't take anything from her to work with me, because two heads are better than one. And I think that this show has gone so much farther than me just trying to take off on my own or Tammy just trying to take off on her own. It is something that we intend and we want this to grow, but it can only grow with us working together. And I think that that's the same steps in life. It's working together that you see, you know, the full fruition of your dreams or whatever it is that you want. It's working together because, you know, separation and conflict and strife and discord, nothing ever grows out of that. Nothing ever grows out of that. The only thing that comes out of that is separation.
Right.
Because a house divided will fall.
Thank you, Tika. And also, just to add to it before we start to close, if you guys are on, if you have a comment or a question, the lines, again, are open. But in most cases, I do want to say this. In most cases, what you find yourself criticizing in others or judging in others is in many cases or many instances something you see or in yourself or you're needing for yourself or you feel that you're lacking in. I do find that that typically happens a lot. It could be something very simple. You know, you see someone that's purchased something or doing something, and you start to judge them for that. And you always need to point those fingers back at yourself and say, what is it that I feel that I am lacking to make me envy? Remember those key words that we said earlier in the show that makes me envy or feel like I have to compete with this person? Because like Tika said, we all have our gifts, and it will benefit or be more beneficial to us as a community,
all
of this, to work together. It just will be more beneficial. So start to look within instead of looking outward. Like our caller said, turn the TV off. Make a decision at least one or two days to even turn your cell phone off. If you don't need it for work, I mean, there's nothing that you absolutely need to know. People survived in this world before cell phones and before email and before Facebook and before Twitter. We've become this instant gratification. We want everything right now. We can cook a meal in the microwave in 10, 15 minutes, but we complain.
We want everything.
Complain.
We
want to go out and eat rather than do that. You know, there's so many things at the touch of our hand, but we still want more. We still feel that we need more and that we want more. So turn it back to you and ask yourself, does money define you? Does it equate to your happiness? Some people can be just as happy with a dollar, knowing that all my bills are paid, I have food in my kitchen, I'm okay. My needs have been met. Does things define you? Ladies, do you feel that you have to have that $600 purse when there's not $60 in the bank? Or are you going to have to borrow money from someone, but you got a $600 purse in your closet? Does your inner circle define you? Meaning, do you feel the need to be in the company of people that so-called have this social status, and it's sometimes people that you don't have anything in common with that bring no value to your life? My son calls these frenemies. So frenemies, they just bring no value to your life.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's the perfect term.
Right. Perfect. So there's so much to look from this, and the number one thing is determine where you fit in with this. And if you feel that, yes, I have some crab mentality in me, then work to change that. Work to determine, and you have to be able to capture those thoughts. Those thoughts will come in our minds. We've said it thousands of times. You have no control sometimes of what pops in your mind, but what you do with that thought, where you allow that thought to take your life or take you in your life, you do. You have control over that. You do. So hopefully we have I'm going to check the lines. Hopefully we have given you guys something to go on tonight and think about. And I hope that you will turn the TV off a little and get off of the computer a little bit more. Just don't stop listening to Butterfly Evolution Show, though, Monday nights. But, you know, just take the time to think about where you are in life and where you're going and what you're doing and your inner circle and the mentality that you impose upon your life and others. So, again, the lines are open. We'll do a, Tico, if you want to pick it up, I'm going to do a real double check here to make sure this is going to be the last call. For those of you who have a comment or a question, the lines are open at this time. So feel free to select the number one. We have some new numbers that have popped in. So if you're just calling in, we're about to bring it to a close. But if you have something to share, just select the number one. And while Tika comes on, I'm going to check the chat line.
I want to kind of leave our people with wanting to share that just let love guide you. Let love guide you in what you do. You know, not your definition of love, but know the actual meaning of love from God's perspective and what God has to say about it. Because our words have power and they are irreversible. You cannot take words back. You cannot change them. And whatever comes out of your mouth in words, they're followed by your deeds as well, because we do what once we speak something, once we believe it enough to speak it, once it manifests into words, our actions will always follow. So choose your words wisely. In those words, deeds will follow. And this law is governed by cause and effect. So whatever you put out, be it word or deed, it will not come back to you void of the equivalent effect. So that is just something I want to just leave with our guests. Any callers, Tammy?
I was replying to one of the chat lines, so let me see here. Okay. No, we do not. So with that being said, again, move your trash can. Think about this. Go back and listen to it if you get the opportunity. All the shows are archived. But move that trash can and try to determine what happens when you do, what happens when you go back to that place. Keep in mind that this is oftentimes what we do in life as well. People are so afraid and just have so much fear in their life, and they want people to think just the opposite. But, you know, everybody's responsible. You're responsible for where you are and where you're going. So people can, they certainly can, Tika said, what's for me is for me, and no one can take that away. You certainly can, you can miss that. Your lack of work, actions, and so forth, you can allow people to stop you in your tracks or make you feel like you cannot obtain it, but it is all up to you. It really is all up to you. Where you are and where you're going is really all up to you. If you want it, you have to make a conscious decision to get it. So we thank you all again for listening tonight. We will return next Monday at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. Remember, if you have any topics that you'd like for us to discuss on the Butterfly Evolution Show, please send us an email, or you can log on to the Blog Talk Radio Show, Butterfly Evolution, or you can send us a message on Facebook, or you can text me. The number again is 901-830-6088, or you can call as well, and we will certainly try to get the topic in on a Monday night show. So thank you all for listening. We hope that you have a great week this week. We're going to allow our football watchers to return to the show, or to their show, football show. We thank you for listening. You all have a good night.
Good night.